The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Well, good morning. You are listening to WTBQ and the Nonprofit Notebook. I'm Sandy Cassese, President and CEO of Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties. So each month I've been trying to explore topics around hospice care, something that I think most people don't have a complete understanding of. I'm actually very pleased this morning to bring a guest to you. Her name is Colleen Fleming Damon, and she is a nurse practitioner by trade. She is the lead nurse practitioner for Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties. And so I'd like Colleen to please say hello and introduce herself. I think perhaps Colleen is not with us at this point in time. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and get started and talk to you about some of the very important aspects of hospice care that I believe need some further explanation. So nurse practitioners are actually a very important part of the interdisciplinary team that cares for hospice patients. And I do believe that most people who are in hospice care see a group of people, either daily, weekly, monthly, but there are actually legions of people behind the scene that you will never meet. And sometimes the nurse practitioner can be that person. So we know that hospice care is often misunderstood. So what I'd like to do while we wait for Colleen is to spend some time talking to you about how we bring comfort care to patients in various settings. So I think it's important to start with talking about what we call hospice care at home. That term can be incredibly misleading, since home, and I'm going to put that in quotation marks, can mean very many different things and can be done in various settings. So for example, you can have hospice care in your personal home, your address, the place that you get your mail. You can also be one of those people who leaves their own typical home and maybe goes and lives with a relative. So for instance, you could be living with your daughter or your son, and that's your home, and we would provide hospice care to you there. Additionally, you could be in a nursing home. We do provide hospice services to residents in Orange and Sullivan counties in the nursing home setting. And home could be a group home. It could be temporarily in a hospital setting. When we talk about routine home care, that's what we're discussing. Okay, so you could be any place where your pillow is, and that is considered home. Now, some patients can receive care as an inpatient in a hospital setting. So hospice inpatient care is a little bit different than what you typically might understand. So for instance, we have contracts with each of the hospitals in Orange and Sullivan counties to make sure that we provide services. And it might be starting out with an informational conversation about what hospice services are. So for instance, a person may have a life-threatening illness, and the physician or nurse practitioner or other health provider consults us and asks us to have a consultation, a discussion with patient and potentially with the family and caregivers. So interestingly, some years ago, we made the decision as an organization to begin services in our hospitals that we call navigation. So what does that mean? In healthcare, navigation or navigators are those professionals who help somebody get through what I'll call the system, right? So in hospice care, everything begins with that conversation. Is the patient appropriate for services? You know, we've discussed many, many times on this show that the benefit is meant to be for someone with a 6 month or less prognosis if the illness takes its usual course. So the navigators, you may first meet the nursing navigator, the nurse practitioner navigator, or the social work navigator in the hospital setting. Some patients who have that consultation ultimately ends up going home on hospice, and that, you know, one of those routine home care cases. But for others, it may be more of an immediate life-threatening situation. And the person is in the hospital and expected, you know, to need intensive comfort care measures. And that's where Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties comes in. So what does the nurse practitioner do? In the hospital setting, they will often round with the palliative care team. Again, palliative care is similar in that it is not curative care. And the nurse practitioners make sure that the patients who are in their care receive the standard of care in terms of hospice. So what is the standard of care? It's comfort care measures and ensuring that, for instance, the medications that are being provided to the patient are strictly for the purpose of helping to alleviate a symptom. And that symptom can be anything from, you know, the trauma of surgery, perhaps, you know, having neurological issues. It could be issues with pain or things like swallowing or regular activities of daily living. So at Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties, we employ a number of nurse practitioners. They are part of the team under the direction of our medical director, Dr. Dinsmore, and they actually follow patients around the clock, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, to ensure that whatever needs need to be taken care of can be met expeditiously. So a phone call may come in the middle of the night, and the family member may describe that the patient is having some restlessness, or they've taken a fall, or the pain medication simply isn't as effective as it had been the day before. Instantly, our triage team, that's the team who works the night shift, will get in contact with the nurse practitioner, and a discussion is had. At that point, they make a decision as to how best to take care of that symptom. And in fact, they can prescribe over the telephone. They can make an in-person visit or whatever needs to happen at that point in time. So interestingly, we see a number of patients in the hospital who fall into that category of needing a little bit of extra care. And hopefully, we're able to get them back into the community setting to wherever they came from initially. So that could be their, again, their personal home, the home where they're living with someone else, in a nursing home, et cetera. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about another level of care that hospice can provide. We recognize that being a caretaker can get pretty overwhelming. You know, you think about someone who's in hospice care for the last 6 months of their life, or maybe more, because again, as I described before, the way the benefit works, it's in the best estimate of the physician who's signing the orders that that person has 6 months or less to live. But, you know, very frequently, the patients outlive that prognosis. So being a caregiver, I said, can be extremely overwhelming. Think about it. We offer as much support as we can in the home. We provide nursing care. You may see a registered nurse. Well, you will see a registered nurse, an LPN, what we call a hospice aide specialist, which is a hospice aide who's very tuned into the needs of a patient with a terminal diagnosis. Part of that team would include the social worker and spiritual care chaplain, and typically nurse practitioner and physician. Still, there is a lot of responsibility on the part of the person who is deemed as the caregiver for our patients. And very often, people do not understand that there is actually a benefit that is attached to the hospice benefit that allows for what we call respite care. So respite care is its own unique situation, and we can explore how respite care can bring relief for caregiver burnout And I had hoped that we'd be talking to Colleen. If she's listening, hopefully she's getting on the phone. But what I would like to do is talk to you about this particular benefit called respite care. So the way the benefit works, a patient who perhaps is being cared for by a loved one who has had some burnout would like to take a break. The caregiver would like to take a break. And so they seek what's called respite care. We need to be careful to understand that the way the Medicare benefit works, the only way that respite care can be delivered is in an approved setting. So that can be a hospital that we have a contract with. It could be a nursing home that we have a contract with, because this is considered at that point in time inpatient care. Or they can go to a hospice facility. And as you have heard me say many times on the program, Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties actually has a hospice facility that's located in Newburgh, New York. Hospice facilities are quite rare in New York State. There are only about 9 of them, and there's a good reason why. It is very difficult to get the application through to the state of New York. There's a lot of paperwork that needs to be done. It has to be deemed necessary for the community, and it could honestly take years upon years upon years to come to fruition. Our facility's been in place for over 10 years at this point in time, and it often can offer a very good alternative to someone who might potentially otherwise need to go into a hospital setting or into a nursing home setting for that respite care. Just to bring you up to speed, the Kaplan Family Hospice Residence, located in Newburgh, New York, is an 11-bed facility. So why 11 beds? Well, as I mentioned to you, the state makes that determination. We actually don't get to decide that ourselves. And those 11 beds have changed drastically over the years. Some years ago, the state required that each bed was given a very special designation, and only patients with a particular designation could go into certain beds. During COVID, that changed drastically. Then Governor Cuomo made an executive decision that hospice residences, mainly because they are so rare, they're spread out through the state, could offer an alternative to patients and families needing that type of service. So during COVID, we actually were able to provide a lot of relief to our hospitals who were completely overwhelmed at that point in time and take part in our residence. So I've talked about this before, but I think it's important for people to understand that while Medicare pays for all of the needs that a patient has when they are on the hospice program, so that could be medication, it could be equipment, it pays for all of the staff so that there's very little out-of-pocket expense for a patient who's on the program. Unfortunately, Medicare does not pay for room and board. However, in the case of respite care, it does, in fact, provide that benefit. So we're getting close to our break, and when we come back, I will talk to you a little bit more about how exactly respite care works.
Dear hospice family, my husband was given less than 6 months, and he was able to be here for 10 and a half months. I think that was because of the care that was given to him by hospice.
Dear Hospice of Orange and Sullivan County, my family is so grateful for the care that hospice provided at the end of Mom's life.
I write this letter to give my thanks and gratitude to the people of hospice who were so understanding and caring in my family's time of need.
The Kaplan Family Hospice Residence, it was like a breath of fresh air.
I know that God sent these wonderful people to us.
It was one of the best decisions we had ever made.
I think it lengthened his time on earth.
Call Hospice of Orange and Sullivan, providing generations of care in your community. There are others. Make sure to ask for us by name. Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties. Your choice does matter.
I'd just like people to find out about hospice while there was still time.
Hospice is a plan for living.
Hi, this is John Tesh. Tune in for great music and intelligence for your life on weekdays at 1 p.m. as we assemble the tips, the facts, and the news you need to be happier, healthier, more lovable, and more fun to be around. Radio worth listening to.
We put the intelligence out there. You decide what to do with it.
WTBQ.
Hi, good morning. You are listening to WTBQ, and this is the Nonprofit Notebook. I'm Sandy Cassesi. I am the president and CEO of Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties. The thought just occurred to me as I'm chatting with the listeners. I'm not sure that I have ever actually mentioned on this program that I am a registered nurse. I am a clinical nurse specialist in community health. And today we're talking about one of the branches of nursing, nurse practitioners, and how, in fact, a nurse practitioner can help our patients on their journey as they take on services with Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties. Specifically, we've been talking about respite care, which is one of the ways that hospices provide support for patients and their families in the community. And as I mentioned before, very often we see that the caregivers, you know, are not perhaps taking as good care of themselves as they are for their loved ones. And this, you know, stress, and it's inevitable when you're caring for someone who's got a life-limiting illness, can become quite anxiety-provoking. And we find that very often the caregivers are not taking care of themselves. You know, not doing self-care, as you heard on the show that preceded this one. Self-care means a lot of things to a lot of people, but we know that caring for a loved one who's got a terminal diagnosis can become all-encompassing and really cause what we call that caregiver breakdown. And so we're able to help the caregiver to do, you know, various things. It may be that they need to focus on their own personal health. So, for instance, they may have other appointments that they personally need to keep, routine physicals. It could be for a mammogram or a colonoscopy, or they need to have a procedure done, and there is no one else to care for their loved one in their home. And that might be a time where our nurse practitioners, along with the other members of the interdisciplinary group, will have a conversation with that caregiver about invoking the respite benefit in order to allow that caregiver to do what we'll call self-care. In another instance, it could potentially be that the caregiver themselves could be recovering from an illness. You know, life happens, and unfortunately, you know, we've seen time and time again where the caregiver themselves may need to potentially have surgery or have, you know, some other health issue themselves looming, and they could then be able to partake in respite care, hopefully send their loved one to our hospice residents in Newburgh, New York, so that they could take a break themselves and recover from their own illness. More often than not, these days, what we have seen is that the caregiver and the patient are requesting respite care so that they can tend to an important event. So what might that mean? So potentially, the caregiver has a wedding to go to. Perhaps there is just a planned family activity that had been planned for months or years in advance, and the caregiver needs that break. So we're able to step in with our professional team of interdisciplinary members to talk about how we can provide that service, that respite care, that can give peace of mind and potentially even relieve some of the guilt that caregivers often have. Now, there's a lot of self-judging that happens when someone's caring for their loved ones Are they doing everything that they possibly can do? Or, you know, if something, if they step away and something were to happen, would that patient be in good hands? And so, you know, being able to provide 24-hour-a-day care in that setting, you know, can be just a major, major stress reliever for the family. So how does one go about requesting that respite care for their loved ones? So if you're currently in the community and you're listening and you have a loved one on our service and you can identify with what I've been discussing with you, then by all means, contact us. You can call 845-561-6111 and ask to speak to one of our staff. If you make the phone call, you don't have to ask for anybody specifically. You can just let them know that you're inquiring about respite care or hospice care in general. Again, you know, for many months I've been talking to you, and hopefully, you know, you're getting the understanding that it's never, ever too early to reach out and have that conversation. So very often we're able to pre-arrange that respite care that we've been talking about. So for instance, you may be expecting to leave town for your granddaughter's graduation. If we know that in advance, we're able to make those arrangements, and we can do it in a way that's not hurried, and that you are able to feel comfortable with the decision that you have made. So typically that respite benefit, again, we always talk about the benefit in terms of Medicare, because obviously the majority of our patients that are on the program are Medicare recipients. The way the benefit is structured is that you can have 5 days of respite care periodically. Obviously, we have to make sure that we're following the rules. Again, you've heard me talk many, many times about the fact that we will absolutely not, you know, want to, you know, do anything that even looks like any kind of fraud or abuse. We ask a lot of questions. We tick off all the dots. And long story short, pre-arranging makes the most amount of sense. We do everything at that point in time, whether it is arranging for the ambulance or ambulette or a family member to drive their loved one either to our Kaplan Family Hospice residence or to the hospital or nursing home for that respite benefit of 5 days. So we document the reasons for the respite being requested, and we ensure that we continue to have those conversations once the patient returns to the setting from which they came. There's a good chance that they may need respite care again, and again, we would go through all of the requirements to make sure that we're doing things the way we should be. So we heard over the holidays last year, and we may have talked about this on this particular program, about what I consider to be an honor and a really incredible example of how we, Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties, were able to step up and help a family who understood that time was short for their loved one. The way that it was arranged to, you know, the best of my recollection, is that the wife, who was the caregiver, reached out and really wanted to talk about how potentially this might be the last holiday that she and her husband and their family would be able to participate in as a family. And so our very tuned in, very astute social work team worked along with this family, and they were able to come up with a plan so that the patient would come to our residence, where he would be incredibly well cared for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, around the clock, actually 5 days in this case. And the wife simply wanted to prepare for the holidays. Thanksgiving was coming, and she wanted to be sure that they were going to have a large family gathering. And she also wanted to make sure that she could get her Christmas decorations up, which, you know, to some might sound trivial or trite, but knowing that this was a very limited time for this particular individual, we were so proud of the fact that we were able to make that happen. And in fact, it was a wonderful celebration of that family, and I am positive that they will be able to remember that for many, many years to come as part of, you know, what we consider to be something very special that we're able to offer our patients and their families during their time of crisis. So before we end the show today, I want to talk to you again about a statistic that I have mentioned so many times on air, but I think it's incredibly important to keep repeating this statistic. New York State is 51st in the nation for utilization of hospice services. Now, again, you're probably saying, how could we be 51 when there's 50 states? Well, they include DC in that statistic. And very sadly, this benefit, this incredible benefit that actually takes care of all of the needs of someone who has a life-threatening illness, is just not being taken advantage of. And so we've been spending a lot of time out in the community through this radio program that we bring to you monthly to make sure that you understand that you need to be in control of decisions that need to be made in the future. If you have not already done so, you should be having a conversation with your loved ones about what their wishes were they to receive a diagnosis, a life-threatening diagnosis that they may need to consider what needs to be done. So I want to thank you for listening intently today. I very much look forward to continuing this conversation with you. And again, 845-561